We do ask that you would continue to pray for the people in the Midwest and also in Kentucky and some of the mid-Atlantic states that suffered such a tragedy, the storm that came through. And we ask that you remember them in prayers. And as we get information, we as the church will try to do whatever we can to help those who are in need. And we pray that they would be comforted to know that the Lord is still in charge, that God is still working miracles, that he's providing for us as we trust in his holy word. We want to invite your attention as we've been talking about angels and what do they do and how do we discern their presence, but more importantly, how do we get the message? How do we receive what angels have to say? I want to invite you to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Last week we talked about the angel appearing to Zechariah, a priest, as he was worshiping in the temple. Today we're going to talk about the angel as he came and visited with a young girl by the name of Mary. She was the spouse to be married, and that's where we'll pick up in the text in verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Hail, you that are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Before you take your seat, look at someone and tell them, God will make it happen. Say it again, God will make it happen. God bless you. You may take your seats. Father, we ask that you speak to our hearts, and we pray that you'd help us not just to understand the ministry of angels, but help us to understand our role and how we're involved in so great of a kingdom. And Lord, how that you're speaking to us every day. We simply need to pay attention that we might be able to make things happen in this world in which we live. We're living in a world that seems impossible, but as we've just read, nothing is impossible with God. Make it happen in our lives today that we might cause things to happen in this world in which we live. We pray this in the strong and mighty name of Jesus, and all the people said, amen. God can certainly make things happen in our life, but we have to pay attention. We have to give him our attention. And I want to say to you that rather than us waiting around to listen to angels, you have God's holy word. You have God's word that you can turn to at any time. And as Peter the apostle said, this is a more sure word of prophecy. And why do we say that? We say that because God has written his word down. Often if we hear something and we don't write it down, we often will forget about it. But this word is certain. You can pick it up at midnight. You can pick it up in the morning. And certainly it is a guide to our feet. It is a light to our way, that wherever we go in life, we know that God can lead us and direct us. His word is certain. And as we think about this season that we're coming into called Christmas, there are a lot of people celebrating it. But they're not aware of the things that happened that first Christmas. You didn't have a lot of the decoration. You just had simple people going about their business, doing the things that they felt was necessary in their lives. But God interrupted that. God interrupted that to let them know that he had a plan that was about to take place. And as we preach God's word every week, we want you to be aware that God has a plan that is unfolding. Either you will be a part of that, or you will be one questioning and wondering what's going on in the world. How are things coming together? And I want to say to you that as bad as things look, God is still moving and things are happening according to his divine plan. It's not out of order. It's not total chaos, because God is moving. We don't always understand it. And that's why we have to listen and pay attention and to be comforted with his word, so that we would not be alarmed by the things of life. Don't let your heart be troubled. That's what Jesus said. Don't be all in a ruffle about what's happening in the world today, because we know that God's divine plan is unfolding. We have to listen. We have to pay attention. We have to be aware that the Lord is moving. Now, I want to put you into the text today and bring you into the historical setting. Many in Israel had been waiting for the promised Messiah. They had been waiting for that day to come. Few of them thought you're going to be involved in it. That includes Zechariah, because he and Elizabeth gave birth to John, and they didn't really understand their role. But as John was born, he became the forerunner, the one that would go forth and would declare, "This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." John had a key role to play. And may I suggest to you, you've got a key role to play, because this plan is not over yet. God's still moving in a mighty way, and he wants to move through you and I to accomplish his purpose. Little did this woman know that she would be involved in bringing forth the Lord Jesus into this world. She believed it. She knew it was going to happen one day, because they were waiting for the Messiah. But little did Mary know, as was sung in that song, she just didn't know that this baby boy would be the mighty Savior of the world. So when Gabriel appeared to her, it shocked her. It not only shocked her by the presence, but the words that were spoken, the things that were said and revealed to her: you have been chosen. You have been selected. You are the one that God has his hand on, and God is going to move through. God is going to bless through you. What if God said that to you and I? Let me just bring something to your mind. He has said it to you and me. You're the one that's been chosen. You have been selected in Christ Jesus. And we're not simply just to live in this world. We are to do some mighty things for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've got to believe that. You've got to believe that. Believing that makes all the difference in the world. And as the angel appeared, nothing is written in the text about what the angel looked like. Isn't that amazing? And if you read the book of Luke, he's very detailed into the things that he brings about. He explains it very carefully, but he noted every word that was said. But he didn't tell you how tall the angel was, didn't say whether or not the angel had wings. And we know that from some scriptures, angels do have wings. Some of them don't. Only thing it said was, an angel appeared. Now, what does that tell us? We've got warning number one: don't get so excited about how the angels look. Get excited about what they're saying. Get excited about the word that they're bringing to you. A lot of us, we get so captivated wanting to see things, and I wish we would get equally excited about wanting to do things. Can I get an amen? The work of God is not some entertainment center. It's not about you coming and you watching something magnificent. It's about what's happening on the inside of you, because you have activated this word of God, and that you're now willing to say, I believe it with all my heart. Now, certainly the angel startled Mary. Certainly there was some excitement about his appearance, but if you'll note from the text, and as we had read, her concern was, how is this going to happen? You're saying that I'm highly favored, but I want to know, how am I to produce a child and I haven't known a man? She was a virgin. She was pure. And she was wondering, okay, God, if this is your plan, then I need to know, how are you going to work this plan out? And then the Lord shared with her through Gabriel that the Holy Spirit would come upon her. See, unlike you and I, Jesus did not have to be produced as a person. He was already in existence before the beginning of time. He simply needed to take on flesh. And when Mary met with Elizabeth, both of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary was overshadowed with the Holy Spirit, and it happened just as Gabriel had said it would happen. You would be overshadowed. You would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you will bring forth this child, and he will be called the Son of God. That's a miracle in itself. Let me tell you about another miracle. The Holy Spirit will also overshadow you. He will overshadow me, because there are things that God wants done. There are words that God wants you to say. There's encouragement that he wants you to share with other people, and you cannot do the work of God without the power of God. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. We have a powerless church that is trying to do a mighty work for God, and we're not relying on the Holy Spirit. Take a lesson from Mary. She said, I don't understand how this is going to happen, but if you tell me, I'm willing to follow it. Now, what we need is saints of God who will come together and will say to God, Lord, we can't handle some of this stuff. You're asking us to produce righteousness in an unrighteous world. You're asking us, and we know that we're, how many of y'all know that you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity? And if you had an opportunity, you'd be doing stuff, all right? But because God has a hold of your life, I'm so glad that God saved me from sin. I don't have to get up in the morning and wondering, well, where am I going to get my next liquor bottle from? Where am I going to get my next drug fix from? Where, you know, what bank can I rob today? Are y'all still here? All of us would be led by sin were it not for the fact that the power of God has come into our lives. Thank God I'm saved today. Thank God I know this man called Jesus Christ. And I want to share with those that are online, listen, if you've never allowed the Holy Spirit to overshadow you and to come into your life and to produce the Savior in your life, you need to believe right now. You need to trust him and know that he alone is God. Mary asked the right questions. And if she could bring forth a miracle, what kind of miracle can happen in your life and in my life today? What is it that God wants to be done through us that's not done in this world? Now, let me just digress for a little bit. We talked about Gabriel speaking and revealing the message of God. Don't you think demons are also speaking today? Don't you think that the devil is out there saying words to people, encouraging them, do this, do that, go here, go there, and they're doing it? What would happen if the church, along with the mighty angels, if we let out a word that God is still good, his mercy is still everlasting? Now, I know that the angels are still on duty. They're never discharged from their duty. They praise God. Remember we said they worship God, they work for God, they're warriors for God, and they witness for God. Remember we said that? Now, if the angels can do that, why can't we? Why are we involved in some part-time thing and say, okay, God, I'll get with you on Sunday. I'll hit you up on Sunday. And we'll talk just before the game. on Sunday evening. God wants you as a saint of God to be involved. In the same way that Mary was willing to say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen, but if this is the way you want it done, then I'm willing for it to happen in my life. This brings us into some important messages about this amazing woman, because she not only was willing to listen and to know that God was moving, but here's the point. God didn't just give her a general message. If you notice from the text, the angel sent the message, but he was sent from God. Okay? He was sent from God. Isn't it amazing how that we look at this Bible as being just a book? This is not just a book. This is God's book, the word that he's given to you, and he wants you to act upon it. A lot of folks say, well, I believe everything in the Bible. Okay, let's put it to a test. Can you do what's in here? Don't just say, I'm going to be a believer. I'm going to be a hearer of the word. I want to become a doer of the word. That's when the miracle happens in your life. That's where the power of God begins to move through your life as we become doers. Mary was sent this message from God. Notice it says in the text, verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, the sixth month being the time that Gabriel had visited Zechariah, 6 months later, he appears, he's busy now. He appears in Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin espoused to a man named Joseph. I mean, that's very specific. And her name was Mary. By the way, God knows you. All right? God doesn't know who I am, and God does. How in the world could God create you and not know you? If he's Almighty God, he knows you. He knows the situation that you're in. He knows your circumstances. Well, I can't do that. I can't give that because I don't have this. And No. That's not about what you've got. It's about what God is going to give you. And the most precious thing that he gives you is his mighty word. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you hold back. If you read the Great Commission and the Great Command that we've been given, it's to go. It's to go and to do what God has given us to do. So God was sent to Mary. And by the way, God has your address. He has your name. He knows where you are. And he's going to pay you a visit. Now, it's not important, again, that you see the angel, but it's that you get the message. God may put a thought in your mind. Remember, the devil can put a thought in your mind, right? You stand there in front of the bank, the devil tells you, go in and rob that thing. I wouldn't try that. Are y'all still here? God can put a thought in your mind, share with this person. God can put a thought in your mind, give to help this program. God can put a thought in your mind that you need to go about these things in life. God can put a thought in your mind, quit worrying about tomorrow. God can put a thought in your mind. Don't let what you hear sink down into your heart and move his word out of your heart. God can put a thought in your mind. That's the message. That's the message. Second thing that I see happening in this verse is that God reveals the truth. He reveals the truth. Here's something amazing about Mary that I hadn't really looked at. She's very humble. Very humble. Now, if the Lord told us that we were blessed and highly favored, we would put a bumper sticker on our car, blessed and highly favored. We'd wear a pin, blessed and highly favored. If we could, we'd get a crown and put on our head, I'm blessed and highly favored. But if you notice, she was not that concerned about all of those accolades. She wasn't concerned about the titles. She was concerned about how this was going to be done. And when the angel shared with her that, Mary, this is God's plan, this is how it's going to be done, she said, be it unto me. I am the handmaiden of the Lord. I did some research on that. Handmaid means slave. God, I'm your servant. A lot of us would boast about, God, I'm your child. And you're supposed to give me all these things. Wait a minute, God's not supposed to do anything. He does it because he loves you. Our role now, if God has given you a mission, our role is to take that as a commission. You get it? I played with words there. Which means you do your part, God will do his part, and miracles happen. Ladies and gentlemen, I feel, and this is why I'm preaching this thing on angels, I feel that we're now at a point that miracles can happen through every one of us. It may not be as significant as the one that Mary was involved in, but I tell you what, if you get Jesus deep down on the inside, something is going to happen. Our churches are dying because we're waiting on people to start doing. And isn't it wonderful that our youth are stepping out and they're saying, you know what, we're going to do what we can. We're going to hand out food. We got members of our church that are going out and doing things to help people in the community. If we hold our peace and if we stand back, the world is going to get worse. But if we stand up and say, wait a minute, if God be for us, he's more than the world against us. Christmas is a time where things happen. And guess who's going to be involved with that? You and me. We're going to be involved with God moving in our world and God moving in our lives that we can be blessed. Mary asked the question, how can this be? And the angel Gabriel answered her and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Therefore, that holy thing that shall be born in you shall be called the Son of God. Did you not know that when you accepted Christ, you became a Christ bearer? You became a person that now has Christ Jesus on the inside. And what he wants to do is to work his way to the outside. Through the labors of your hand, through the words of your lips. No, you can't grow wings like an angel, but what you can do is share a message like the angels. You can tell, matter of fact, your message is going to be something that angels look into and they want to know what you're talking about. You know why? Because angels are not saved. Oh, that's a shock. You mean God doesn't save angels? No. They were created perfect. And if you mess up, you're out. Wow. That's what happened to Satan. You know, he was supposed to be worshiping God and giving God glory. All of a sudden, pride develops. He said, wait a minute, why am I giving this glory to God when I can get a little bit for myself? I will ascend into the highest. I will make my throne above God's throne. And God said, you're out of here. Didn't give him a chance to repent. Angels are created perfect. And here we are, we mess up every day, and God still loves us, still forgives us, go out and do stuff that we know is wrong. And God says, okay, if you come back to me, God didn't plead with the angels to come back. He said, matter of fact, I'm not asking you to leave. I'm kicking you out. And the angels fell from heaven like lightning. That's what the Bible says. And yet you and I, God forgives us once, twice, seven times, a million times, and we keep coming back because we know we need his grace. How many of you all are there? I thank God for grace today. And when you celebrate Christmas, you're celebrating the grace of God. You're celebrating not just a baby in a manger, but a mighty Savior who forgives all the sin of the world. He came into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm so glad I got Jesus. Look at somebody. Tell them, I'm glad I got Jesus. Mary humbled herself, received the message, and then said, Lord, make it happen. Lord, make it happen. From that, I want to give you 4 points today. 4 points, and we're going to close with this message. First of all, if you are going to see miracles happen in your life by God, number one, you got to be open-hearted. You've got to have an open heart to receive God's message. Don't let God have to keep coming back to you again and again. Don't play Jonah on God. Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell the people that they need to repent. Jonah said, you know what? I'm going to take me a ship going the opposite direction. And that's a lot of us, isn't it? Or either we do this, we tell God, I can't do that. Of course you can. But him working in your life, you can. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I was most unlikely to be a preacher. Most unlikely. Now, why? My wife can tell you. She's right here today. Oh, my goodness, I used to cuss like a little sailor. And when I first got saved and God said, you're going to preach, I said, I'm going, what? You don't know the way I talk. But if you get him on the inside, he'll cleanse your tongue. He'll cleanse your heart. I thought I was unworthy. And even now, I don't think I'm worthy to do this, but I depend on the power of God Almighty. You've got to have an open heart, saints. You've got to be willing to say, Lord, you do it. The second thing that you got to do, you've got to accept the challenge to change. Mary really didn't know, going back to that song, she didn't know this might cause a few problems. It's going to cause some issues. If I get pregnant, all of a sudden I ran up to Joseph and he said, hey, you know, you're gaining some weight. Oh, I'm having the child, the Messiah, and his name is Jesus. That's what the angel said. There might be some problems. You might have some problems if you tell people, I don't go to club anymore. I'm saved. Yeah, right. I don't do what I used to do because Christ Jesus is in my heart right now. Ladies and gentlemen, the point is, you've got to be willing to change. I know Charlotte Elliott writes in that song, just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come. But God doesn't leave you just as you are. He starts a great work in you. Philippians 1 and 6 says, he that is faithful has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I thank God he's still working on me. He's still working on me. Not what I want to be, but thank God I look back and I'm not what I used to be. You got to be willing to change. Even if that change means that you'll be ridiculed, even if that change means that you'll be talked about. How many of y'all have been in the church and now you're saved and walking with God, you got folks talking about you? Got people saying all kinds of evil things against you. But guess what also is happening? You got the angels in glory. They're talking about you. Look at them. They're doing the work of God. They're doing God's will. Don't worry about man. Man can't put you in hell and he can't put you in heaven. But be concerned about the one that's working in your life. You got to be open-hearted when you receive God's message. You got to accept the challenge to change. That's what church is all about. That's what church is all about. I know on Sundays we put on our Sunday's best and we come out, we looking good, smelling good, and acting good, amen. But the fact is, in here, we get to receive God's word. And the same way that God worked with the clay when he shaped man, the Holy Spirit now is working with your heart and with your life and your spirit. He's shaping you and molding you, bringing things to your mind. I could be preaching one thing and the Holy Spirit could be preaching to you another message telling you, here's what you're going to have to do. Here's what you're facing right now. And especially God dealing with our fears. We're in a fearful world. And God speaks to us every time we come together and said, don't be afraid. I'm with you. How many of you have that to happen? You're sitting in church and all of a sudden God begins to whisper to you, it's going to be all right. That's the word of God. That's God working on you and molding you and shaping your life. So we face the challenge to change. We open our heart. But the third thing that we need to learn is we must keep an humble attitude. Regardless of what you do and regardless of how you serve and what God says about you, Mary could have gone around and said, you know, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm the woman that God chose. She could have said all that. Her thing was, just make me a handmaid. Just let it be done. You got to keep an humble attitude. And I want to tell you something. I want to admit, preachers, amen, some of them can be the worst examples. You know, call me bishop. Call me Dr. So-and-so. Wait a minute, we didn't call Jesus that. Why we got to call you that? You know, I know people say pastor, reverend, and that's fine. But if you call me Bill, I'll answer to that too. Are y'all still here? It's not important about saying who we are. What is important is us saying what we're doing. People want to know what is the church doing, not about who you got in there. We want to know, is this the mighty church of God or not? Are you the ones that can pray for us? Are you the ones that can tell us of the way of life? That's what the people want to know about God's church, not about what kind of labels we wear. And you know what God is doing? Because you stay humble, He blesses you. Let me tell you something. During this whole COVID, you and God have made things happen for this church financially. Amen. We spent less, but our giving only was down a small amount. Why? Because God, and I know folks in this congregation got laid off, or either the job wasn't working you as much because you were at home, and yet God provided. Isn't that amazing? Give the Lord a hand. I don't know how He did it, but He is such an amazing God. But if we stay humble, there are some mighty things that's going to be done through this church. I was down in Southside a couple of weeks ago, and there was someone we visited. And guess whose program they pulled up on YouTube just right beside T.D. Jakes? And I'm going, us? Here's T.D. Jakes, and he's getting ready to, you know, he's on YouTube, and he's getting ready to do his service, and here's little old Crossroad. That's God. At any time He wants to, He can put you up and say, okay, I want you to let your light shine. But now, if you get up there and you start talking about your light, guess what God's going to do? He's going to put out your lights. That's what my mama used to tell me. I'm going to put your lights out. Anyway, take God seriously. Keep an humble attitude. Love people. Love God. Stay humble and watch Him use you. He will put things in your hands that you never thought you would have given to you. How many of you have had miracles to happen financially? You didn't expect it, but you needed it, and then God opened doors for you. How many of you had things to happen medically? Doctors had done what they could, and then all of a sudden God stepped in and said, no, 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 I'm going to do this in your life. Expect miracles, but stay humble. Stay humble and know that God can work through you. Lastly, not only should we be open-hearted to God's message and accept the challenge, not only should we be humble to receive the encouragement, but we need to tell others about what's happening in you. Now is not the time to keep it a secret. How many of y'all know that when young ladies get pregnant, they show? I know that's probably not so good of a... That's what happened with Mary. Mary, tell us about what's going on with you. You say you didn't know a man, but obviously something happened. When you have to explain, when you have to tell others, you got to be bold about it. Humble does not mean that you're not bold when you talk about what God is doing. When your friends ask you, hey, you know, we missed you at the club, and why you ain't coming no more? Can I talk? You can tell them, God turned me around. He did the impossible. Because that's what we're really saying. It might be impossible for you and for me, but it's not impossible for God. Be His witness. The devil will tell you, well, all the stuff you did, you don't need to stand up and say anything. And that's where a lot of us will sit down. But if God has been so good, if the Lord has brought you from a mighty long way, let everybody know. Tell it on the mountain. Tell it in the valley. Tell it wherever you go. God made a way out of no way. I can't stop from testifying. Yeah, I know it. Back home they call me Skeeter. I know that. Now everybody got it online now. But guess what? I can tell them Skeeter changed. God worked in my life. And when they try to point at where you used to be, you can tell them, but I'm no longer there. I changed my address. I got over on the Lord's side. God worked the impossible in my life. As a matter of fact, he's still working on me. Is he working on you today? Is he moving in your heart? Is he blessing you? Be a witness for him. Anytime the angels would stand up and boldly proclaim what God was doing, why can't you and I? His salvation and his grace has been too good for us. It's been too good, and we've got to tell somebody that the Savior lives today. He is our Lord, and he's the one that we are witnessing about and letting the world know. Before we close, I want to give the invitation. If there's someone today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if he's not alive in your heart, you can get to know him. Open your heart and simply say, Lord Jesus, I need you as my Savior. I'm on drugs. Lord, I'm an alcoholic. I'm broken. I've been on the streets. Whatever it is, God can help you today. He can help you. But you must turn to him. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for doing the impossible in our life. Thank you for blessing us even at times, Lord, where we know we didn't deserve to be blessed, and yet you blessed us anyway. Thank you for this amazing day that we can talk about your amazing love and how that you have brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Our voices may not be as bold and as powerful as that of the angels, but we too can be witnesses of your glory. We too can share with the world. The truth is, there's a Savior coming back. We're not looking at the end of the world like everybody else is. We're not going to go out with a bang. We're going up in a cloud with our Lord and Savior. And if you want to be included, you've got to get on the Lord's side. Bless that one today. We humbly pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the people said, amen, amen. Do you love the Lord today? Amen. We trust for those that are online, if you want to contact us, you can go to our website, crossroadbc.com. We would love to talk with you and love to share with you more about how to follow this faith in Christ. We love the Lord in here. Amen. Amen. And we are blessing God every day that we live. Celebrate Christmas with us in a new way, not by getting the eggnog and spiking it and all of that. Get on your knees and pray and celebrate Jesus. That's how you love God during this Christmas season. God bless you. We pray that everyone will go out and have a safe week. Get your vaccination if you have not. Amen. Because us old folks, we're getting older and we're frail and we need you to help us out. Amen. Good. Actually, we all stand as Brother Joe come and dismiss us in prayer.